directly up toward the front. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Because it's kind of hard to find. It's 21, and when you get to chapter 1, verse 4, just say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hear now the reading. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. And so, Lord God, this morning, we thank you. We thank you for your grace and your tender mercy. We thank you that you are God who meets us at our point of need. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, God, that your word is bread for the journey. And so this morning we simply ask that you would speak, Lord, for your people are listening. Speak, Lord, for your people are listening. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, you're our strength, and you are our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen, amen, amen. I want to thank everyone, those who sent cards and for your prayers. As I continue to go through the journey of celebrating the life of my father, and what I know in a whole new way is the power of prayer. I know that the power of prayer and the prayers of the righteous availeth, accomplish much, because even as I flew to Memphis last weekend, I know that your prayers carried me there and brought me back here. And so I am so grateful. Thank you. Thank you. And so as we continue this Lenten series on being made new, we are reminded that life is a journey where we are perennially, it's like over and over again, in need of renewal. And these past 3 weeks have helped me to understand the gift and the blessing of journeying with Jesus through death and into full and abundant life. My trip last weekend to Memphis gave me a new and deeper understanding of Lent and our life's journey. Even as I booked my airline ticket to go home, I could not understand why I needed to go through Philadelphia in order to get to Memphis. And so last Thursday, I flew out at 11 a.m. on Thursday morning. And we arrived in Philadelphia, but we did not land. We circled for 30 minutes, and then we were flown to Pittsburgh. We landed in Pittsburgh, and for 90 minutes, we're on the ground, and I'm trying to tell somebody. I told the people, I called the hotline. I'm like, I'm trying to get to Memphis. My dad has died, and they said, "We're sorry. We can't help you." And so then they say, "You can go back to Philadelphia because your flight leaves at 6. You have plenty of time." It was 2 o'clock. So we fly back to Philadelphia. I stand in line for 2 hours. And I get up to the line and they say, "You're not going anywhere. You're going to be in Philadelphia until 9:30 on Friday morning." And so I come to this place of saying, okay, I've never actually spent a night in an airport, but all right, I'll just get a hotel. All the hotels were booked. There was a snowstorm. All the hotels were booked. They had the little minute suites. The minute suites were booked. It was so strange that I sensed that God was trying to teach me something in the midst. And so as I sat, you know, they had these beautiful rocking chairs, and I sat in the rocking chair. And I'm like, okay, God, what is it that you want me to know in the midst of this? And this is what I put on Facebook. Some of you are my friends and you read it. Life is a journey of circling and turning and returning as we make our way home. Life is a journey of forward yet circuit. I want to say this word because I like it. Circuitous. Is that said all right? Okay, it just means like circles. It's life, this movement with twists and turns and delays and detours. But as we move forward as God's people, we have a blessed assurance. A blessed assurance that we will one day make it home. And so in this text this morning, this very strange text, anybody agree? It's strange. Thank you, Carla. We find Israel having set out from Mount Hor, where they, 30 days prior, they have grieved the death of Aaron, one of the last survivors of the Exodus. Aaron has died and has been buried, and Israel goes by way of the Red Sea, detouring around the land of Edom, which would have been a more direct route. And it's worth noting that this story is located between the end of the old generation and the beginning of the new. It sits between the edge of the wilderness and the edge of the promised land. Israel finds itself in the space between the end of an old chapter and the beginning of a new chapter. Anybody in here this morning, find yourself right in the midst of change and transition. If you're alive, if you're not there, you're about to go into it. Because this is where we find ourselves today. As I made my way to Memphis, I was clear that my trip home was about honoring my father and closing a chapter in my life. It was not until I was entering the airport to return to Minneapolis as I was walking through the doors at the airport, and it felt very physical. It felt like I wasn't just walking out of a chapter, I was walking out of a book. But here's the thing that I didn't expect. As I walked, and you know how there's that foyer area right at the airport? Then the next set of doors opened, and it felt like I was walking into a new book. It was like, as I sat there, and I said, even in grief, I experienced this quiet strength. This peace in knowing that even as one book has been closed, God who wrote the old book is the same God who's going to write the new book. But this time, as Easter people, as God's resurrection people, this is the blessing that we know the end of the story, that we know that we can go into the new chapter, deeply aware and alert and intentional about God and who we are in God. And to know that when God writes that book, the new book in our lives, we get to write the book with God. Hallelujah. We get to write it together. And so many of us find ourselves in these places of transition, in some type of change or other. We find ourselves at a crossroad, at a border crossing. I read something this week that referred to Jacob. Jacob, who is one of the patriarchs of Israel, Jacob as the patron saint of border crossings. Life is a series of frontiers, and some we are eager to cross, and some, we really don't want to go there. Others where we are dragged by circumstances that demand that we cross. You know, this week, Target eliminated, 1,700 positions. And some among us, even in this congregation, were affected. And so now they find themselves at border crossings. border crossings, all frontiers, be they physical, be they emotional, be they spiritual, they require that something has to change. And here's the truth that we don't like. Change requires wrestling with mysterious forces. Change requires wrestling with desires, wrestling with doubts, and yes, wrestling with our fears. As I read this morning's text, it made sense to me that it was not only the delays and detours that caused Israel's frustration. It wasn't just the delays and the detours that caused them to lash out and to vent. See, this was not the first time they had complained. See, they were whiny by nature. You know anybody like that? Just whiny by nature. Just love the wine. You want some cheese with that wine? They dragged out the same old laundry list about dying in the wilderness, yearning to go back to Egypt, the lack of food and water, and the monotony of the manna. And this is their worst time, though, because this is the first time that they actually not only complain against Moses and complain against Aaron, this time they are complaining against God. They are at the brink of the promised land. Aaron, one of their leaders, has died. Moses is very old and has been told, they know that he will not cross over with them. And I imagine that even as they play the old tapes and fall to their old patterns and their old responses, new fears have kicked in. Fear always sits on the other side of complaining, you know. Because this is a community in crisis, and this is a community where fear like snakes has reared its ugly head. Fear of the unknown. Fear if they can hold out. Fear if they can trust God. I read something this week that said that it's not so much that God tests us as we test God. We test God over and over and over again. We test the limits of God's love for us. We test the limits of God's presence. Is this what it is to find ourselves at a border crossing, wrestling before God? In response to the complaining, God sends venomous snakes among them, snakes that bit many, and it says many died. This is the stuff, by the way, that makes the Old Testament real hard to take. This is the stuff that makes God of the Old Testament, you know, that smite and smoking God. This is the one. This is the one, snakes. See, but snakes of all things, it was a snake, a serpent, who was a culprit right at the beginning, right? Enticing Eve in the garden. It was a snake. What kind of God is this who sends poisonous snakes on the rampage into sinners' tents? Is this what it is to find ourselves at a border crossing? Facing our deepest fears, our greatest attacks, facing death of our hopes and death of our dreams. Is this what it is, God? Is this what you're trying to tell us? Is this the crisis where we rail and lash out at life until we find ourselves at the end of ourselves, when we find that life has brought us all the way to the end? Is this what God's trying to say to us this morning? Is it at the border crossings where we must wrestle and tell the truth and face the things that are slowly killing us? Is this what it is? Is this what you're trying to say to us, God? Is it that at the border crossings where we stand between the old and the new, between life and death, where we have to confront our material and fleshly and spiritual seductions? Where we must face our temptations and our addictions, where we must face our ideologies, where we must face our old behaviors and our old responses that no longer serve us well. Is this what you're trying to tell us, God, this morning? You must answer that for yourselves. At the end of ourselves, it's so often that we do the first thing we should have done. But so often it's the last thing. It's at the end of ourselves where we pray and where we turn to God. It's at the end of ourselves when we're facing death and facing the tug of war between the old and the new, where we finally realize that our struggle is not with the circumstances, but our struggle is against God. Our struggle is about prayer, and our struggle is with trust. Can I trust you, God? Will you hold me up, God? You who started me on this journey, will you take me all the way through? If you take me by way, Lord, out of the way through Philadelphia, can I trust that you'll really get me all the way home? Is this the place? Is this the place? At the end of ourselves where we turn and we begin to pray and trust, because we find that in prayer our vision gets clear and God clarifies some things and God moves us back to the truth that will set us free, the truth that will keep us moving on and help us to cross over to the River Jordan. See, another lesson that I learned, and I was like, what in the world do I do with this snakes on a pole thing? What do I do with this? And so this week I had to I've been sitting in this place of just trying to hear from God. And so this is what God taught me again about that airport wilderness experience. See, as I sat in the airport that night, Gloria Roach Thomas, my colleague, she said to me, this is by design. God put you here by design. And I received it, but I couldn't understand it. I knew it was just enough to take it in. And so on Friday, I just simply noticed that I had more peace on Friday than I had on Thursday. And then when I noticed, I had to really, let me just give you some backstory. Because the backstory is going home from my father's funeral was one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do. My father had remarried, and my father remarried when I was in my 20s, but through this whole journey, I've had to work through a whole lot of daddy issues. I've kind of talked about that, and I've had to work through some forgiveness, and I've worked through that, but my father has a whole new family, and so even when I asked if I could help plan the service, no. And so even to have to go home, and so this whole part of this was I had to go back and look at all of those years that I had to work through, right? But what I noticed, even in having the courage to kind of look at it again, what I noticed is that the scars were there, but the wounds didn't break open. Hallelujah. You know we will always have scars, but the wound did not break open. And so I knew that I was at a crossroad. I knew that God wanted me to go home in a particular way. I had to tell the truth about all of the years where I had been bitter, where I had been small and I had been petty. I had to tell the truth about my own self. And so even as I prepared to go home and I realized my dad had died and I had to go. And I had to go in a new way because I had to end this chapter well. I determined that I had to go home better and not bitter. There were only two things, better and not bitter, and I had to go home. I had to take my true self home and leave my false self, my ego self back here in Minnesota. I knew that God wanted to get some glory, and so as I flew out on Thursday, the truth is I wasn't fully there. I was still wrestling with how would I greet my father's wife. I was wrestling with would I be the first one to initiate contact. I was wrestling with would I be graceful and gracious. I was wrestling with all of that stuff. I was wrestling. And so I am sitting there in this airport and I knew what God wanted me to do. You know, I'm a pastor. I don't know. But would I, in my embodied self, choose to be large and open? Because I tell you the truth, my flesh really wanted to stay small and petty. Huh? The night in the airport was necessary. It was necessary to slough off all the non-essential stuff. It was necessary for all of my last layers of resistance to fall off. It was necessary for me to surrender so that I could rise up to my true self. It was necessary. It was at the airport in the deserted place that the Lord rooted me in what was truly essential. Because what is really essential is that my father's new family loved him deeply. My father loved his family deeply and my father loved us. What I realized in that what is essential is that my daddy's love was big enough for all of us. It was big enough. And so God took me into that place. And even had me to say, while he was imperfect, while my father was imperfect, love is what is essential in the midst of it. And so God took me there. God took me there with a lot of humor, by the way, because over in the midnight hour, every hour, it was like, welcome to the Philadelphia International Airport. It's like, I don't think I need to know at 3 a.m. that I'm in the Philadelphia International Airport. The delays and the detours, they are the set apart time, the time where we refocus and clarify and we let God take the old skin off, the stuff that was useful in the old season, but the stuff that needs to be transformed in the new season. See, we turn back in prayer at the border in the wilderness where God is responsive to the needs of his complaining, resistant, whining, petty people. See, the gift of healing comes where the pain is experienced, where it is the sharpest. The gift of healing comes as we look to God and we allow God to reveal that our struggling and our wrestling has been wrestling with self-sufficiency and self-control so that we might wrestle and let God win so that we would grow in trust with God's sufficiency and God control. I want God to be in control of my life. I want God's sufficiency. I don't want to lean to my own understanding. See, at border crossings, it's always a critical crossroad where we get to choose faith over fear. It's a critical crossroad where we get to choose if we will trust as opposed to doubt. It's at these places on the journey, in the wilderness, through the wilderness. It's in these places where deliverance comes, not in being removed from the wilderness, by the way, but in the very presence of the enemy. The movement from death to life occurs within the very experience of serpents and snakes, attacks and tempting, seduction and chaos. The place of suffering, the place of humiliation, the place of vulnerability, the place of shame becomes God transforms it. If we allow, God transforms that emblem of death into a symbol of healing and of life. The death-dealing forces are nailed to the pole. The pole of shame and the pole of death becomes a pole of life that is carried to Jerusalem and reappears in another God-forsaken place high on a hill overlooking the holy city. God himself has taken on the pole. Once and for all, the journey ends in death and it pauses in a tomb. Oh, and then it rests and rises anew into abundant and everlasting life that comes early. Somebody say early. Early on resurrection morning. I love this quote by, it's a poem by Pablo Neruda. And it says that it's like his dream where it is like a beehive here inside my heart. And the golden bees make white combs and sweet honey from my old failures. White combs and sweet honey. That's what God does. God takes the very thing that has come to destroy and kill us, and God transforms it. And when we turn and return, and when we look to God, and in turning, we know that we live. Hallelujah. And we make our way home. Amen. 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 And so.